Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our Thursday morning shiur at the Young Israel Woodmere. I hope that everyone enjoyed a meaningful Chag HaPesach. Welcome to the people who are coming to join us live. We are live. There is ample room for social distancing. Everyone should feel welcome to join us in person. Thank you to those who are joining us over Zoom as well. I would just like to personally dedicate this shiur to an Aliyah Neshama, special woman who is a member, a longtime member of the Young Israel of Woodmere, who was Nifteres, her Levaya was yesterday, Trudy Spector. Some of you may have known her or known her sons. I'm very close with her Jay Spector and family. And really the first one in the family that I knew was Grandma Trudy. Before I knew Malky and before I knew Melissa and before I was learning with different generations, I was learning with Grandma Trudy at the Nautilus, and I had a tremendous chus in the last years of her life, and she attended shiur every week when she was well. She was a very special woman, and her levai was left yesterday. So may her neshama have an aliyah in the chus of the Torah that we will share today. Mrs. Trudy Spector, Gito Bat Eliezer Meir, Alaha Hashalom. So this week's parasha, before Pesach, we spent 5 weeks. We did 4 weeks of the special parashios. We did Parsha Shkalim. We did Parsha Zachar. We did Parsha Para and Parsha Sachodesh. And then immediately before Pesach, we did Halach Ma'anya. So we have not delved into the parsha in quite some time because we were doing the Arba Parashios and Pesach. So today I want to go back to Parsha Sashavua. This week's parsha is Parsha Shmini. So what happens in Parsha Shmini? We're in the book of Vayikra. We miss Vayikra and Tzav together. And we're in Parsha Shmini. What happens in Parsha Shmini? In Parsha Shmini, it's the eighth day. The eighth day of what? The eighth day of Chanukah's HaMishkan. So it's not the eighth day of a month on the calendar. Rashi tells us immediately that it is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, when the Mishkan was permanently erected. The people left Egypt the previous Nisan. They sinned by Chet HaEgel. Moshe spends 120 days in three sets of 40 davening. Yom Kippur, Hashem says, Salachti Kivarecha. Second Luchos. I'm just giving you the timeline. I did this in every shiur this week, so we should just know where we are with the people. He comes down on Motzei Yom Kippur. God forgives the people like he promised. Moshe has a second set of luchos. Motzei Yom HaKippurim, which we call Yod Aleph Tishrei, begins the work for Mishkan, the collection for the Mishkan, the materials for Mishkan. It takes them 6 months, and on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which is the eighth day, so there were 8 days, there were Shivas Yimei HaMiluim, which culminated in the seven days, culminating in the eighth joyous day when the Mishkan was permanently erected. Aaron gives the Birkas Kohanim, Parak Tes, for the first time to the people. Yivarechacha, says Rashi, Ya'er, etc. First time, it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So it's almost, it's 1 year minus 2 weeks since the people left Egypt when the Mishkan is erected. That's where we're holding in the desert. They don't know anything yet about the 40 years. Everything's going according to plan. The Mishkan's erected. They'll spend some time and soon they're planning to go to Eretz Yisrael. So it is the eighth day of inauguration, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. In Parak Yud, you have the famous or infamous sin of Nadav and Avihu. What exactly did they do wrong? According to the Pshah, they brought a foreign fire that was not commanded. According to the Drash, Chazal list myriad of reasons, many different reasons as to exactly what their sin was. In Parak Yud Aleph, chapter 11 of Parsha Shmini, we have the topic of Ma'achalos Asuros, and ma'achalos mutoros, what we may eat, what we call today kosher, even though the Torah does not use that label. So we have animals we may eat and not eat, fish, and what are the kosher signs? Insects are forbidden, which birds may we not eat? And that is how Parsha Shmini ends in Parak Yud Aleph. So I'm going to begin in Parak Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Today what we're going to be doing is learning 4 lessons from the Chazir. 4 lessons. Azor Hashem, in the time we have, Hashem shall we get through 4 lessons from the Chazir. The Chazir represents the most, if something is really treif, we have a term, Chazir treif. We don't say our neves treif, even though we're not allowed to eat the our neves, because it only has one kosher sign. We don't say gamal treif, even though the gamal is listed as an animal with only one kosher sign. We don't say shafan, which article translates as hyrax treif. If something is really treif, you say it's chazer treif. What is so wrong with the pig? Why is he so treif? And what does he teach us? So today we are going to be learning, Be'ezrat Hashem, four lessons from the Chazir, four different lessons. So I begin in Parak Yud Aleph, Pasuk Aleph. Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe, just going to read the Pesukim according to Pshat. So God spoke to Moshe and to Aaron to say to them, Dabru al Bnei Yisrael, speak to the children of Israel, Lamor, saying, Zot hachaya asher tochlu, this is the life form that you may eat, mikol ha-behema asher al ha-aretz, from every animal that is upon the earth. The Torah begins with the laws of animals, then moves to the laws of fish, and then moves to the laws of birds. Kol mafrases parsa, everything that has a split hoof, but it can't be a partially split hoof. I can't really do it with my fingers, but like partially split would be if it's split to the first knuckle. Fully split is split to the bottom of the two fingers. So if it's split like to the first knuckle, that's a partial split. Like the camel, that is not considered kosher. It has to be totally split all the way down to the back. And that's what the pasuk then says. Vishosa ashesa prosos. It must be a completely split hoof. Ma'alas geira, the second sign of an animal that is permitted for us to eat is that it chews its cud, it regurgitates its food, it chews, it swallows. The art scroll Chumash in the footnotes with Rashi actually shows how animals may have different stomachs. I am not whatever they call a person who studies the anatomy of animals, but they may even have different stomachs. So the food goes down into the first stomach, then comes up to the second stomach, then again to the third, then to the fourth. So it's not just eating and digesting and expelling waste, but it is a process of chewing and swallowing, chewing and swallowing, and chewing and swallowing. Lahavdil, I'm sorry, but there's a kid's book that I used to read my kids when they were little, The Town of Chew and Swallow. Not Chew and Swallow, what was it called? You know where food comes down from the sky? Not Chew and Swallow, what was it called? I don't remember. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs. Yeah. I don't know why. Is there something in there called Chew and Swallow in that book? No, I'm losing it. Okay. So the second sign is that it regurgitates its food, babahema. Also tochelu, those you may eat. So we know that I told them in the beginning of the week, if you're stuck on a desert island, these are the signs you're looking for. And I said, really, if you're stuck on a desert island, just pray. But the animals that are kosher are chews its cud and fully split hooves. And then interestingly, the Torah lists four specific animals we may not eat, even though it gave us the signs of what a permitted animal are. Pasuk Dalet, ach et ze lo tochlu, this you cannot eat. The first three animals that we cannot eat have one sign. The fourth animal has the other sign. So the pig, which is the fourth animal, famously is split hooves, but does not chew its cud. The first three animals are the opposite. They do chew their cud, but they do not have split hooves. So here we go, pasuk dalet. Ach et ze lo tochlu, this you shall not eat. Mi ma'ale hagera. From that which chews its cud and has split hooves, et hagamal, which we translate as camel, ki ma'ala geirahu, the camel does chew its cud, ufarso einenu mafris, but it does not have a split hoof, we're talking about the gamal, tamehu lachem, it is impure to you. The et hashafan, translated as the hyrax, also, kima'ale geirahu, it does chew its cud. However, ufarso lo yafris, it does not have split hooves. Tamehu lachem, it is impure to you. The esha arneves and the hare, H-A-R-E, kima'ala geirahi, it brings up its cud. Ufarso lo yafrisham, in pasuk vav, for those who may be following along in the Chumash. However, it does not have split hooves, and therefore, tamehu lachem, it is impure to you. And then, Pasuk Zion, the exception to the rule. Remember when I was little, Sesame Street, Lahavdil once again, this is correct. They would show like four shots, four boxes on the screen, and you would have to say which of these things does not belong. So here you have four animals. Which does not belong? The Chazir, because the other three do not have split hooves, but chew their cud, so they're all in one category. And then you come to the Chazir and Pasuk Zion, which is in its own category. Pasuk Zion, Ve'at HaChazir, and the pig, what we translate as pig, ki mafris parsohu, it does have split hooves. So if you go to the petting zoo, or maybe you went over Pesach on Chol HaMoed trip with little kids, and you go to the farm, and you will see the pig or the sow lying in the dirt, and she sticks out her hooves, and you might think she is a kosher animal, because she does have split hooves. However, vishosa shesa parsa, the Torah clarifies, it is completely split. Remember we said in the earlier pasuk, it has to be completely split, not a partial split. complete split, which is what the pig has. However, the geira lo yigar, it does not chew its cud. And therefore, tamei hu lacham, it is impure to you. Final pasuk that deals with the animals, mi bisoram lo sochelu, from their flesh you shall not eat, of the what we call unkosher. Notice that the Torah does not use that word. The Torah uses tamei and tahar. I'm just using the word kosher because it's easy and that's how we refer to these in a category, okay? Uven nivlasam lo sigau, and you may not touch their carcass. Tmeim heim lachem, they are impure to you. And then the pasuk moves in pasuk tes to fish. So we are going to focus on the chazir. He is clearly unique. He has a very bad rap. He is clearly unique. If something is really treif, we say that it is chazir treif. Again, not our neves treif, or not gamal treif, or not shofan treif. And furthermore, he is which of these boxes do not belong, and that is the pig. So the first insight, I even have in my notes. Could you see A, you probably can't see. B, capital A, capital B, capital C, capital D. So what is the first lesson that we will learn from the pig? So when I was preparing my shiurim this week, I was utilizing a lot of Sfarim. I don't remember which sefer I saw this in. I really try and quote my sources, which is why I'm telling you this, but it's not my own insight. I saw this brought down, but unfortunately I don't remember in which sefer I brought it down. What is represented in chewing the cud that makes an animal kosher? Okay? And keep in mind that this is really specific vis-a-vis the pig, because he's so treif that he's chazer treif, and of the four animals listed, he is the one who does not chew his cud. So what does it represent when an animal chews its cud? Again, this is not halachic. These are hashkafic lessons from the chazir. What does chewing its cud represent? Chewing its cud, I saw brought down, represents taking time to think, to digest. You know when someone tells you something and you say, I have to digest it, let me sleep on it, I need to think about it. It's not acting with haste. There's an English expression, haste makes waste. Chewing the cud in an animal represents digesting the information you have just learned, thinking and contemplating about what you have learned, contemplating the information as you ingest and digest it. It means you don't run to judge. There's always more than meets the eye. When you see something, you don't take it necessarily at face value. We don't make rash decisions, and we try not to act in haste. Again, this is not my own ha'ara. I saw this brought down. I don't remember where, but don't say that Michal Hartz. I'm just telling it over. And it's very interesting, and I believe that I mentioned this, Erev Pesach Shir. And I find it extremely interesting that in Parshas Bo, which relates to is all about Yetzias Mitzrayim, we know we have four sons. The questions of the three sons, or one of them doesn't even ask a question, but the recording of three of the sons happens in Parshas Bo. The Torah lists their questions / interaction in the immediate context of Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's one son who the Torah lists his question in Sefer Devarim, 40 years after Yetzias Mitzrayim. Sefer Devarim, Perek Vav, Pasachov tells us about the Ben HaChacham. When your son will ask you, Maha Edus Vachukim Vamishpatam Asher Tziva Hashem Elkeinu Eschem, isn't that interesting? The Rasha asks right away. The Tam and the She'enu Yodea Lishol, the Torah could have put the Chacham's question with their question also. It means it's very significant that the Torah does not include the question of the Ben HaChacham immediately in the context of Parshas Bo with Yetzias Mitzrayim. When everything is happening, they're asking. The Chacham says, you know, I'm going to watch, I'm going to wait, I'm going to think, I'm going to contemplate, and if I have questions after, I will ask them after thinking and mulling over and digesting the information. And therefore, one thing we learn from an animal that chews its cud is the expression in English goes, you are what you eat. And the animals that we are forbidden from eating and permitted to consume teach us something about ourselves. It's not just that kashrus, what we call kashrus, is a chok, a law for which we do not understand the reason, which it is. Does God really care if I eat salmon and I don't eat eel? Apparently the answer is yes. Can I ultimately exactly understand why? No. However, we can learn from these animals, and it is very important and can be applied so often in life. You know, your child comes home and tells you something happened with the teacher in school, or the teacher calls you and tells you something happened with the child in school. Before we jump to the information, before we go down someone's throat, pun intended, let us take it down our own throats and let's think about it first. It's interesting, we started off sheer noting that it's Rosh Chodesh Nisan because it's the eighth day, we're in Parsha Shmini, and the Mishkan was finally erected. Who crafted the Mishkan? Who is the master craftsman of the Mishkan? Betzalel ben Uri ben Hur, this keeps falling. Betzalel ben Uri ben Hur lamata Yehuda. Betzalel was the master craftsman. Ahaliyav worked with him from the Shevet Dan, but we know Betzalel was the master craftsman. And in Parshas Ki Tisa of the book of Shemos, Perek Lamed Aleph, yeah, Pasuk Gimel. So the Pasuk tells us that God invested Betzalel with three measures of wisdom. The Pasuk says, V'amalei oso ruach Elokim, I have filled Betzalel with the Spirit of God, b'chachma uvitavuna uvidas. Betzalel was gifted with chachma, bina, and das. Now, if the Torah uses three words to describe wisdom, then that means it's three different kinds of wisdom. Uvichol malacha. So all of that chachma, bina, and das, Betzalel used over the past 6 months, and finally the Mishkan goes up. It requires great wisdom and degrees of wisdom to know how to proverbially chew our cud, to think of the information and to digest. It's a rash person, and I'm not saying I am that person. It's a process we have to work on. The rash person jumps down someone else's throat and the information is given. The Chacham says, you know, in 40 years, if I still don't understand, now I'm going to ask. What is the difference between Chachma, Bina, and Da'as? So Rashi on Chumash, again, Shemos 31:3, Rashi says, Chachma is what you learn from someone else. So the example I use, I remember when I took chemistry in New York University in Toronto, and we sat in a huge auditorium. I was only there for 1 year between Israel moving to New York, and I, Baruch Hashem, got married. So you learn the periodic table of elements. It has nothing to do with my intuition. That's Chachma, says Rashi. Someone teaches you. I don't know, sodium, potassium pump. It has nothing to do with how intelligent I may or may not be. It's a fact. What is bina tevuna, says Rashi? Mevin davar belibo mitoch dvarim shalamad. That's intuition. You understand or you intuit in your heart from things that you learned. And finally, what's da'as, says Rashi, ruach hakodesh. So we have to daven, and it's interesting that we daven the first bakasha in the Shemoneh Esrei, the first, after the three brachos of Shavach, the first of the bakashos in the Shemoneh Esrei is for what? Atachonein la'dam da'as, I daven esuch svarb, umalamei le'enosh binach, anienu mitcha chachma binu v'das. These three levels of wisdom. I think Nusach Ashkenaz davens for Seichel, if I'm, yeah? Hello? You daven esuch Ashkenaz? Yes? No? Maybe? Isn't the word for Seichel in there also in the Nusach Ashkenaz? Yes. So, but in Nusach Sfarad specifically, but whatever your Nusach is, what you're davening for is different degrees of wisdom. And not only should God grant us the wisdom, but we should know how to apply the wisdom. Tola Eretz al Belima, the world is upheld by one who knows how to keep his mouth closed. So one thing we learn, Nakuda, Roman numeral 1, or capital A, chewing the cud represents taking the time to digest the information before we act upon it. So it's very compelling that the chazir, which is the most treif, again, you don't say arnevis treif, arnevis is also treif. You don't say gamal treif, the gamal is also treif. Something's really treif, you say it's so treif, it's chazir treif. The chazir is the only of the four animals listed that has split hooves, but that does not chew its cud. So there's something very intrinsically wrong with not taking the time to contemplate when we learn, with not, we pray to God for wisdom. We have to pray to God to help us apply the wisdom properly. Let's be like the Ben HaChacham, who doesn't jump on the bandwagon immediately while the story's unfolding. Let me see the picture. Let me digest. Let me chew. Let me sleep on it. Then I will ask. That is lesson number one of the Chazir. What is lesson number two of the Chazir? This is a very famous vart, and I'm sure that you have heard it elsewhere brought down. I'm going to also bring in a lesson from Soloveitchik. These two signs represent two different aspects of a person. The internal, I should go like this, not like that. The internal and the external. Every person, I'm not talking about guf and neshama, we're made up of two different aspects of ourselves. We have our internal personality and we have our external persona. Everyone has a private life. Everyone has a public life. I don't mean if you're a public figure, whatever. Now, we're out. We're all now in our public lives. And when you're in the privacy of your home, you are that internal person. Now, if you have many guests, you might be your external person in your home. What represents a kosher animal? Again, I'm using the word kosher, tahor animal for us to eat. Someone who is tohu kabaro. He has both signs of kosher. He has the internal sign, which is chewing the cud. That's internal. You put the food in your mouth and now no one, hopefully, you know how to eat with manners and nobody sees it anymore. Now you might see the cow chewing the grass for a long time, so maybe I think, you know, takes him a long time to eat, but it represents an intrinsic or internal tahara, where the split hooves is for everybody to see. Like I said, you go to the farm and you see the animal and everyone can see immediately what sign that animal has, if the hooves are split or if they are not split. The pig is so treif, and I'm sure that you are aware of this and have heard this before, because which sign does he flaunt? Externally, he makes himself out to be a tzaddik. If you go to the farm and you see his hoof sticking out and everyone will say, wow, look at me. Did you open a sitter? Does it talk about seichel? It doesn't. Okay, so you were correct. So what does it say? I don't know. I don't daven a seichel ashkenaz. I don't know. I can't hear because you're wearing a mask. Okay, whatever you daven for a nesuch ashkenaz, I gave you the text of nesuch svart. We should know how to apply our knowledge. Okay. So let's go back to this lesson number two. Only animal with, the chazir is the only animal with split hooves who does not chew his cud. As if to say, look at me, I am kosher. Internally, he is chazar treif. What does this represent? This represents falsification of who you are. He represents the ultimate hypocrisy. He represents deceit and lies. Because it's if he wants to show the world that he's a tzaddik. You know, I was just reading, Mishpacha comes Thursday morning, thank God. It contributes to my Oneg Shabbos. But I just skimmed through the letters to the editor this morning. And I even considered bringing it in and reading it, but it was lengthy, so I didn't bother. But there's been a back and forth. I don't know if anybody has seen it or followed it over the past few weeks based on an article back and forth, Rachman al Son and spousal abuse. God forbid. Spousal abuse. So there have been a number of husbands who have written in who said that abuse doesn't only go one way. And they too are the victims of spousal abuse at the hands of their wife. But it's interesting because in this morning's letter, and obviously I knew this morning what I was going to be teaching today in Shir, if you have Mishpacha, you look it up and you see it, a certain husband who does not sign his name for obvious reasons writes that on the exterior, his wife looks like a wonderful person and she's accepted in society and nobody knew, but in the house he is, Rahman al-Atslan, a victim of her abuse. This is exactly, I don't know who these people are, I don't know what the problem is. Hashem should bench this week's parasha is the Birkas Kohanim I mentioned for the first time. V'yasem l'cha shalom, ein shalom, ein hakol. But this is exactly what the chazir represents. Somebody whose outer persona looks like a tzaddik externally, but internally he is schmutz and he's chazar treif. And that's why we call something Roman numeral number two, chazar treif, because it's not internally you're aware that you need to change yourself and you're working on yourself, but you want the whole world to think what a tzaddik you are. And this is why Chazal in Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, and it could be in other places as well, associate Esav / Edom with the pig. These four animals, and I'm not getting into it, but you could have been the Medrash Vayikra Rabbah, and Parsha Shemini, it's quoted in many sources. I looked at the Medrash inside. These four animals, the Gamal, Shafan, Arnevis, and Chazir represent the Arbogolios. Okay, you can look up the Medrash, represent the Arbogolios. Edom represents the pig, or I should say the pig, the Chazir represents Galus Edom, which we are currently in. So under this nekuda, this Roman numeral, why is Edom / Esav associated with the Chazir? Well, if Roman numeral lesson number 2 teaches us that the Chazir wants everyone to think he's kosher on the outside, but internally he's Chazir Treif, he's Schmutz. Remember that famous Rashi in Parshas Toldos, where Esav makes himself out to be such a tzaddik, because what does he say to his father? You're wearing masks, so I'm just going to tell you. Father, I'm also wearing masks. If anyone's listening online, you shouldn't think I meant that. It's going to be too hard for me to understand what you're saying. How do we take miser from straw? Father, how do we take miser from salt? Wow, said his father Yitzhak, my son is such a tzaddik. He wants to be more machmir than necessary. He wants to take tithe. He wants to take miser from things that do not even require taking miser. So what does Esav represent? What is Edom represented by the Chazir, who makes himself out to be the tzaddik, going back not only to the nation of Edom, all the way back to the original Esav, Vayikra Shmo Edom, they called his name Edom, but he is represented in the Chazir because it is this persona of charming tzidkus, if you will, on the outside, but schmutz on the inside. This week's parsha, once again, to tie it into Vayihi B'yam Hashmini and Hakamas HaMishkan. The first, Nekuda, we also learned from Bezalel, the master craftsman of the Mishkan, applying your knowledge and contemplating. That's represented in the chewing of the cud. Now we're talking about the split hooves. This also ties into the Mishkan. How so? The Aron Kodesh, which resided in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where the Shechina Kaviyacha was mitzamtzem between the two Kruvim, was made up of 3 boxes. It's very famous. I've taught it before. My Mishkan book. Why was the Mishkan, the Aron Kodesh, made up of 3 boxes? Why not one? Like, you know, the kids, I always say the little kids in the bath. My kids used to have those stacking rings in the bath with the hole in the water, bottom. The water used to drain out. Why? Wood, gold, wood. Interior, middle box, exterior box. Because the inside was wood and the inside was gold, the middle was wood, the outside was gold. So outside and inside have to match. You have to be golden on the inside and golden on the outside. And in fact, what a Chazal famously say there, Kol Talmid Chacham, she'ein tocho kivaro, ein Talmid Chacham, any Torah scholar who's inside, tocho, is not like his outside, kivaro is not a Talmid Chacham. So these 2 signs represent the internality of a person chewing the cud, that's something that happens inside of you, and the externality of a person, that's what everybody sees. If you want to be like the Aron Kodesh, which represents Keser Torah, which went into place this Parsha, where God's Shechina was mitzamtzem to dwell, your inside has to be gold, you have to chew your cud, but your outside also has to be gold, you have to have split hooves, and you shouldn't be like Esav, the swine, associated with the Chazir, who sticks out his hooves and says, Father, how do I tithe salt? Father, how do I tithe straw? When in fact, he is a farce. Rav Soloveitchik says, quote, and he's not talking, the Rav is not talking about the Chazir, and he's not talking about the Aron Kodesh, he's talking about what a person must be. But it defines exactly the problem with Esav and why the pig is so Chazir Treif. Rav Soloveitchik says, quote, an individual must be the same person on the street, at home, in the office, in his bedroom, and in shul. I could just read that. It's a longer excerpt, which I'm going to read. But that's exactly the point that I'm trying to big across with the Chazir. An individual must be the same person. I'm repeating it. It's kedai to hear it again. You have to be the same person on the street, that's represented in the split hooves, and in your home, that's the chewing the cud, in the office, split hooves, in the bedroom, chewing the cud, and in shul. One person. Pun intended, not a split personality. The Rav knew many Jews who in public were refined, upstanding, caring, and generous people. But in their private lives, they were nasty and detestable. The Rav said he was acquainted with people who took a very long time to pray the Shemona Esrei in public, but if they ever davened alone, they ran through it very quickly. Such people are truly different people in private and in public. And that's why the chazir is so treif. And that was Esav. Look at my hooves. But I don't chew my cud. The Rav contrasted such hypocritical behavior with that of his father, Rav Moshe Zatzal, and his grandfather, Zecher Tzadik Mekdoshim Levracha, Rav Chaim Brisker. His father and grandfather would not stand 1 minute longer during their Shemona Esrei in public or in private. In Europe, special garments were commonly worn by the rabbis in public, yet the Rav's grandfather, Rav Chaim Brisker, would never dress differently. He insisted whatever he wore at home has to be the way he dressed in public. An anecdote, this is further told over, this is brought down in Machzor Masoros HaRav LeRosh Hashanah and the Machzor Masoros HaRav LeYom HaKippurim, published by OU with the art school format. If you don't have them, I recommend them very much. And they're Ashkenaz. So I daven from my Nusach Sfard, but I learn from them on the Yomim Noram. An anecdote is told about, but also my Shul daven's Nusach Ashkenaz. So when I'm following along with about Tefillah, I use the Machzorim of the Rav. An anecdote is told about the Saini Rav Yisrael Salanter. He was a passenger traveling in a wagon with a Jewish wagon driver. They came across a pile of hay on the side of the road. The driver looked around to see that nobody was watching. He proceeded to take the hay to feed his horses. Rav Yisrael Salanter said, "What are you doing? You're being watched." The wagon driver dropped the hay and he quickly jumped back into the wagon and he looked around. And he realized nobody was watching. So the driver said to Rav Yisrael Salanter, "Why did you mislead me? No one's watching." Rav Yisrael, and again, the Rav Salvechik is telling this over. Rav Yisrael Salanter said, "God is watching. There is no place where he is not." Concludes the Rav, this is the underlying maxim of Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Tamid, Tehillim 16:8. In God's presence, which is everywhere, one's behavior must be consistent. I can't be this Michal Horowitz on the outside and another Michal Horowitz in my house. What would it be if I walked around all day screaming at my children, terrorizing the people in my home? Chalil v'chas. Dressing pros there and sanua here, what would I be? In God's audience, one's behavior is consistent. This, says Rav Soloveitchik, is the underlying concept between teshuvah. Now you understand why this piece is brought down in the Machzorim. It's Aseres Yemei Teshuvah. So he uses this teaching as a springboard for the idea behind teshuvah, repentance. There is a pure, uncorrupted core in a person that is never tainted. If the whole personality sins, said the Rav, teshuvah is never possible. But the Jew is not created from nowhere. Teshuvah does not stem from nothing. Man has a pure essence. So even if a person is that person of contradiction, that person of hypocrisy, we believe they can change. So Roman numeral 1 or A was Chachma. Chew upon the knowledge you learn. Take time to digest. Think about it. Be the Ben HaChacham. He doesn't ask right away in Parshas Bo while the events are unfolding. You know, 40 years later, if I still don't know, I'm not saying to wait 40 years to get clarification. But the teacher calls you about your kid. The kid calls you, tells you about the teacher. Your spouse comes home with the wrong item from the grocery store. Take time. Think about the situation. Chew your cud. One sign of a kosher animal. Noteworthy that the pig does not chew his cud. We spoke about Chachma, Tevuna, and Das. We quoted Rashi, Bitsalo, connected it to Vayhi B'yam HaShmini. Roman numeral number 2 in Akuda B that we just finished talking about. If the first was chewing the cud, the second is the split hooves. Hashem help me. Excuse me. Split hooves. The split hooves. The pig having split hooves and not having the internal kashrus represents hypocrisy of the worst kind in a person. Why is it the worst kind? Because externally he wants to look like a tzaddik. So look at my split hooves. But internally he is missing the sign of kosher. We quoted from Rav Soloveitchik and the Aron Kodesh being tochel kivaro. Third nakuda from the pig. I said we're going to learn 4. Third nakuda from the chazir. Okay, this is really interesting. When I was preparing this shiur, I looked into this further. How many of you of you have heard that Yemalas HaMashiach, the pig will be kosher. Really? Okay, that's interesting. So that's something that I always heard. What's interesting is that Rabbi Ari D. Kahn, K-A-H-N, in his Svarim, Echoes of Eden, published by the OU Press, Svarim on the Parsha, maybe 3 to 5 volumes. This is really interesting. Rabbi Ari D. Kahn writes, and I've heard this before. It's interesting that no one here has heard this before. I thought it was a well-known teaching that B'Yemos HaMashiach, the pig will be kosher. Rabbi Ari D. Kahn writes, various authorities have mentioned a teaching that in the Messianic age, the pig will become kosher. Interestingly, footnote 14 on page 86 notes that some authorities note that this is a well-known and widely accepted teaching, but its source is apparently non-existent. Now, none of you were aware of this teaching in the first place. However, that's very interesting to me because it is a well-known teaching, but many authorities say that the source is apparently non-existent. He quotes the Atarat Paz, who quotes the Bnei Yisachar, and he has the Lashon of the Bnei Yisachar inside, I just didn't bring the Sefer with me, that though this is a well-known saying in the mouths of men, it is not found brought down by Chazal. I thought that to be very interesting. However, I'm still teaching it because it is a well-known teaching. We're not exactly sure, therefore, though what the source is, but very well known then in the Messianic age. And Rabbi Ari D. Kahn does quote it as part of his topic on this week's Parsha. And in the times of Mashiach, a pig will be kosher. Well, the first question is, the Torah does not change. Okay, B'Yemos HaMashiach, the Chamisha Chum Shei Torah, and Megillas Esther will still be true, and not obliterated like the other books of Nach. So how could it be that if the Torah says the pig is Tamei Hu Lachem, and though it has completely split hooves, it does not chew its cud, is that Pasuk going to change B'Yemos HaMashiach? How could the pig be kosher in the end of days? So the Ar HaChaim, which I have the text of here, I copied and pasted into my notes. It's a short Or HaChaim, you could look it up. The Or HaChaim, too. Vayikra Yud Aleph Pasuk Zayin. The Pasuk about the Chazir is extremely interesting. Lashon of the Or HaChaim is as follows. Perush. Tanayhu Hadavar Lizman Shehu Lo Yigar. The pig being Tame is conditional upon the time when the pig does not chew its cud. Aval la asid lavo, but in the future, ya'ala gera, the pig will bring up its cud, the yachazor lihiot mutar. What the Or HaChaim is saying, and perhaps this is the source, I don't know, for this idea that B'Yemos HaMashiach, the pig will be kosher. The Or HaChaim says, beferush, that the pig is going to have some sort of anatomical change. Listen to the lashon of the Or HaChaim. It's one sentence. Or HaChaim to Vayikra, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Zayin. You could look up them. It's very short. Perush, Tanayhu Hadavar, Lizman Shehu Lo Yigar. Avala Asid Lavo, Ya'ala Gera, V'yachazar Lihiot Mutar. The pig is going to undergo a change. He is only Tamei as long as he does not chew its cud. But in the future to come, he will bring up its cud, and he will return, v'yachazor, chazir, v'yachazor, lihiot mutar. And then the pig will be mutar. V'lo sheyisha'er below gera. It's not that it will be kosher and remain without the sign of chewing its cud. Ki Torah lo tishoneh, because the Torah is not going to change. Perhaps this Or HaChaim is the source for this idea, but B'Yemos HaMashiach makes sense to me that the pig will be kosher, because he says, b'feirush, the animal will change. He will become an animal, amazing, who will chew its cud. He has split hooves. And therefore, in the B'Yemos HaMashiach, la'asid lavo, he will yachazor lihiot mutar. V'lo sheyisha'er below gera. It's not that the pig will be kosher without chewing its cud. Why? Ki Torah lo tishoneh, because the Torah is not changing. So that's a very interesting teaching of the Or HaChaim. What's the pshat? What's the Mr. Haskell from the fact that la'asid lavo, as Or HaChaim has just stated, the pig will be kosher because he will now chew its cud? So it's a hashkafic lesson as well. No matter how far a person has fallen, we could even be chazar treif. We should never give up on ourselves. You know, doesn't it happen to you? You're trying to work on a certain inyan in your avodas Hashem, whether it's tznius or speech, lashon nekiya, or not speaking lashon hara, or attending an extra shir, or being more patient, making sure your external masks your internal, whatever the area you're working on, and you're trying and you're trying and you're trying, and you just keep feel like, what? What's wrong with me? Why can't I enact the change, permanence that I want? However, that's the lesson of the chazir. Imagine something that says chazir treif la'asid lavo will undergo a change, a metamorphosis. He will now chew his cud, says the Or HaChaim, and he will be kosher. And that is a message, ironically, of hope from the chazir to all of us. We should never give up on ourselves. And we should never give up on others who may seem so removed, because there is always the possibility for them to undergo a metamorphosis internally. Where will the chazir have a change? It really relates to Roman numeral number 2. His external was already, quote, kosher. Internally, he will undergo a change, and he will become mutar. Once again, Rav Soloveitchik, in a different piece, this is from Machzor Masoras HaRav LeYom Kippur, says the Rav, when a man sins, he becomes impure. How can he have the impudence, the audacity, to return to the Ribbono Shel Olam? The answer is, when a person sins, his exterior sins, but his soul, the neshama shenasata bi, his internal self is always pure. Quote, teshuvah is possible, because as far as the Jew may stray, his external self is affected. In the recesses of one's soul, there is a spark that can be salvaged and can return home. Teshuva is always possible. The Jew is never lost. A Jew may think himself unredeemable, yet in reality, his inner core is untouched. So the chazir, while he represents the most defiled of all animals, he could be as treif as the chazir treif of the chazir. We should never give up, because, says the Or HaChaim, la'asid lavo ya'ale geira, he will touch on that spark internally, and he will find the kochos to redigest his food. V'yachzor liot mutar. If the pig could come back and become from tamei to tahor, then certainly we should never give up on ourselves or on others. The sinner represents, as the Rav, a pseudo-personality, man's true aspiration. Man's true aspiration, superseding all others, is to draw near to the Almighty. Mountains of ash may have hidden his soul and concealed the burning ember, but nonetheless, it continues to burn. This too relates to Malachas HaMishkan, Rosh Chodesh Nisan Vayhi B'Yom HaShmini, because the fire, Eish Tami Tukad Lo Tichbe Bo, the fire on top of the altar must always be burning. Even at the time of journeying, they covered it with some sort of kedera or pot, but the fire on the altar was never extinguished. Says Rav Soloveitchik, a person can always come back to God. He can wake up. He can shake himself out of his impurity. He can identify with his real self. What is the third lesson of the pig? That as chazer treif as he is, says the Or HaChaim, la'asid lavo, yachazor lihiot mutar. He will find that internal strength. He will begin to chew his cud. How exactly will this pig undergo the anatomical change? I have no idea, but this is Torah's emes. And even as treif as he is, la'asid lavo, he will be mutar. Rabbi Ari D. Khan suggests something very, very interesting, that the source of the tradition and the way we learn that the pig will become kosher, and you know that I love focusing on Shorashim in Lashon HaKodesh, and I found this tremendous. I find the whole thing fascinating. Who knew there was so much to learn from the pig? But what is a pig called in Lashon HaKodesh? A chazir. What do you call someone who returns in repentance? A chozer b'teshuvah. It's so obvious once it's pointed out. That's something that I never considered before. Me, Michards, who loves to focus on Shorashim, because sometimes Lashon HaKodesh tells you the whole story. God could have called the chazir anything. And yet the root word of hachazir, et hachazir, why is he tameh? All the reasons we've spoken about. Chet, zayin, resh. Mamakam shabali teshuva omdim, ein sadikim gemurim omdim. To be a chozer b'teshuvah, halavai, we should all be chozerim b'teshuvah. And therefore we learn that the pig can always return. And if the pig can return, the chazir can be a machzir b'teshuvah, then certainly we can too. Fourth lesson of the pig. The chazir represents the length of galus. I told you, and not only is it brought down, by the way, in Medrash Vayikra, but if you look in the Mefarshim, I saw when I was preparing for Shir, if you look in the Mikros Gedolos, many of the commentators, when talking about these four animals, the Gamal, Arneva, Shafan, and Chazir, many, many of the commentators quote the Medrash that talk about the Arba Golios, related to these four animals. We're not going through all of them because we're already out of time and I'm not finished my material, and I'm specifically focusing on the Chazir for today's Shir. The Chazir represents Galus Edom. Esav, we already explained, because of his hypocrisy, how do you tithe straw, how do you tithe salt, he makes himself look to be like a tzaddik. The chazir is in his own category, like we already mentioned, which of these things do not belong. Those three are neves, shafan, and gamal. Chew their cud, do not have split hooves. The chazir is different. He has split hooves, so he obviously stands out. I'm going to quote from Rabbeinu Bechaya on these psukim, and listen carefully. The Rabbeinu Bechaya notes that in Mishneh Torah, which is an acronym for, not an acronym, another name for Devarim, when the Torah once again lists the kosher and unkosher animals in Devarim in Parshas Re'eh, the Chazir also stands out. Listen to Rabbeinu Bechaya. Avaba Mishneh Torah, Beseder Re'eh, in Sefer Devarim in Parshas Re'eh, his kir shloshtan b'pasuk echad, the three other animals are listed in one pasuk, Sefer Devarim perek Yudal pasuk Zayin. Et ha-gamal, ve-et ha-arnevet, ve-et ha-shafan, kimala ge-rehima. So here the pig stands out because he is unique in which kosher sign he has and which he does not have. In Parshas Re'eh, he stands out because the three other animals are in one pasuk. So clearly they're in one grouping. V'hizkir ha-revi b'pasuk mipnei atzmo. And the chazir in Parshas Re'eh is listed in his own pasuk. So clearly this guy is unique, as we have been exploring during the duration of today's shir. Hu shekasuv, the pasuk says, ve'et ha-chazir ki mafris parsu ve'lo gera. Like the pasuk says there, the chazir is also treif, he is split hooves, but he does not chew its cud. But why is he distinct and different, besides for all the other reasons we have spoken about today? V'haya zel lirmoz, why does this come to teach us? Ki ha-shalosh galios, the three previous galios, afal pisha hayuzmanehem chalukim hayukiiluhei mechubarim lefish shazmanam mo'at v'katzer. The other three galios, Babel, Parzumada, Yavon, were distinct. They were each their own galos, but it's as if they were one. Kiilu hayu mechubarim, as if they were mechubar. Lefishas manam mu'at v'katzar, because relatively in the scheme of history, those galios were short. Everybody knows what the longest galus is, because we're still in it. Because it's 2,000 years since Rome destroyed by Yosheni. Aval ha-galus ha-revi'i, but the fourth galus, which we already said, is represented in the chazir, is Edom slash Esav. He's kiru b'fnei atzmo. He is mentioned by himself. Bein b'parsha zu, whether it's in our parsha shmini, bein b'mishnah Torah, whether it's in Devarim parsha Re'eh, lahoros, to teach us. Ki hu ha-galus aroch b'fnei atzmo v'shakul keneged kulam. The fourth Roman numeral, a capital D, is that the chazir teaches us about the length of galus. The other three animals go together, both in the signs that they share and don't share, and in their grouping in the Torah. And the chazir stands out in the sign that he has and does not have, as we have been learning, and he is grouped separately from them. Why? Because those galios quotes to Rabbeinu Bechaya, afal pi shehayu zmaneihem chalukim, even though they were three different galios, Hayu ki ilu hei mechubarim. It's as if they were one, because it was a relatively short time period. But this galus, the chazir is listed by himself in our parsha Shmini and a Mishnah Torah Devarim. Lahoros kihu galus aruch bifnei atzmo v'shakol keneged kulam. So will the Mashiach come? Will the chazir start to chew its cud? Will all those who are lost be chozrim b'teshuvah? Says the Rav, genuine geula, genuine redemption, always comes suddenly, unexpectedly, in a time when people are ready to give up hope. Sometimes historical situations keep deteriorating. People pray, they cry, they beg for mercy, and there is no answer to the prayer, only silence. But at that moment, when the crisis reaches its maximum, when it's more chazer treif than it's ever been in this galus of Edom, when it threatens the very existence of the community, when people give up and they think the chazir could never be kosher, and they forget that the shorash of chazir is lachazor, when people give up, the geula suddenly comes and takes them out of the land of affliction. It comes in the middle of the night. It knocks on the door when no one expects it, when everybody is skeptical, when everybody laughs off the possibility of redemption. This is the nature of Geula. Four lessons from the Chazir. One, chewing its cud is crucial. We need to take time to digest information. The pig does not chew its cud. Two, don't only have split hooves. The same person you are on the outside, and we related each, by the way, to the Mishkan, who must be on the inside. Three, says the Aruch Chaim, b'yimos HaMashiach, l'asid lavo, the chazir will be amale geira. He will lachazor lehiot tahar. Never give up on yourselves and others. Rabbi Ari D. Khan points out the shorash of chazir is chet zayin reish. And finally, four, the pig based on Rabbeinu Bechaya represents the fourth galus because he is yotzei min haklal. It's so much longer than the other galus. And yet we ended with a quote from the Rav. When does geula come? When we least expect it. When everybody gives up hope. When we have given up on the possibility of redemption, it knocks us on the door and takes us out of the land of affliction. I thank those who joined in person very much. I thank those who joined on Zoom very much. I wish you a wonderful day and a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you so much, everybody. May our dear friend, Mrs. Trudy Spector, Grandma Trudy's neshama merit on Aliyah and the schus of the Torah that we shared today. Have a wonderful Shabbos, everybody. Thank you.